Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water, filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze. We put it in, it took like 30 seconds, guys. And its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use code PANTSUIT at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Mine is at about 50%, and I'll tell you why. I have a tendency to overcommit. I want to help with everything I can possibly help with. I want to do everything I can possibly do. I want to be with people, and I forget that at the end of the day, I am an introvert, and I really need time to recharge and take care of myself. Therapy gives me important tools to do that, to recognize what's going on, to understand my battery and where it is and why it's there and what I can do to recharge. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/pantsuit today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/pantsuit. So that I do not like to spend my time or money in salons when I can help it, but I do enjoy a good manicure, and I especially enjoy spending time with my daughters doing the Olive and June Mani system at home, because we can all get a good looking manicure for around $2. We know that the polish won't chip and will last at least a full week. We get to await with anticipation the new colors that come out each season. The girls love being able to add some sparkles or choose whether they want their top coat to be matte or shiny. We just have a really good time together with salon grade tools that are so easily explained so that we can do a really good job taking care of our nails, but do it all from the comfort at home. All the choices of a big salon stored in a basket in my closet for when we're ready to hang out together. The Olive and June Mani system is a real game changer. So visit oliveandjune.com/pantsuit for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/pantsuit for 20% off your first Mani system.
I think it's really difficult because this cost conversation is happening in two realms. Like you said, is it how much it costs the country overall, how much we're all spending, or how much it costs the government?
This is Sarah.
And Beth.
You're listening to Pantsuit Politics,
the home of grace-filled political conversations.
Everyone, we are back in your ears for another episode of Pantsuit Politics. And before we get started on the five things you need to know about Medicare for All, we wanted to say a big thank you to everyone who joined us on Hot Mic for the last Democratic debate. It was a hit. It was super fun to watch it with you, Beth, instead of being in our separate platforms, and to have everybody chatting along with us. We will definitely be on Hot Mic. We're thinking for Super Tuesday results. I'm very excited.
And if you have trouble using the app, just let us know. We'll send you some instructions. Once you get in there, it's really fun and really easy. And it made this debate where, look, the whole analysis is that everyone is the primary version of hangry. It was not a pleasant viewing experience, but it made it so nice because we were all in it together, having really interesting conversations, even when the conversations happening on stage weren't so interesting.
Right.
Also, tickets are on sale for our spring tour. We will be in Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Boston, and New York City. So go to pantsuitpoliticsshow.com and click on the events tab to learn more. And we hope to see many of you in person, especially at the meet and greets, which we're very excited about.
Since healthcare is the dominant issue in the Democratic primary, and really, I think, in the country in general, mm-hmm. as we look to 2020, especially as coronavirus is in the headlines, we've all kinds of public health issues out there. We wanted to spend some time today talking about what Medicare for All actually means. So we're going to do the five things you need to know about it, beginning with what Medicare is. For those of you who are not on the plans, it is important and difficult sometimes to wrap your head around what Medicare is about. So first, let's do Medicare minus for all.
So Medicare is a federal health insurance program created in 1965. By the time this legislation was proposed, the United States had been debating national health insurance programs for several decades. There was a lot of red baiting. Sound familiar? A lot of private lobbying. Sound familiar? That defeated proposals from FDR and Truman. There was a big movement in California to get statewide health insurance. So by the time we get it in 1965, you see this compromise, basically, between Democrats who want national health insurance and decide the best way to reach some success is to focus the population. And so Medicare is focused on a select group, which is the elderly.
With some expansion since that time, Medicare still primarily serves people who are 65 or older, along with people who have disabilities, people with end-stage renal disease. It is funded from general revenues. About 43% comes from general revenues, 36% comes from payroll taxes, and then 15% comes from premiums. And this is something that I think a lot of folks who aren't on Medicare don't understand. Yes, our tax dollars pay for Medicare. The people on Medicare also pay premiums for Medicare. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk more about that as we look at the different parts of Medicare, because Medicare as it exists currently isn't one specific thing. There are different parts and some choices to make even as you enroll in Medicare.
So those different parts, you've probably heard it. This sounds like the alphabet soup. Part A, Part D, Part C supplement. So let's go through those really fast. Medicare Part A is insurance for hospital stays. It covers inpatient hospital stays, care in a skilled nursing facility, hospice care, and some home health care. And Part A is automatic. For the most part, there is no monthly cost, but there is a deductible, and there is some responsibility for expenses if you stay more than 60 days in the hospital.
Medicare Part B is medical insurance. It covers certain doctors' services, outpatient care, medical supplies, and preventive services. You are required to roll in Part B if you don't have other, the term is creditable, health care coverage through an employer or spouse. And creditable is measured on a bunch of requirements that we're not going to walk through today. But basically, if you already don't have health insurance through an employer or through your spouse's program, then you've got to buy Part B as well. You pay a monthly premium for Part B. If you're on Social Security, the premium gets deducted from your monthly Social Security payment. There is a deductible for Part B, and there is cost-sharing responsibility. You pay 20% of the Medicare-approved cost of the service, and that used to not have a cap. But since, I think, the last 10 years or so, we've had a cap of $6,700 on that total out-of-pocket that you would have in the cost-sharing section.
Then we have Medicare Part D, which is prescription drug coverage. And it adds prescription drug coverage to either original Medicare, some Medicare cost plans, some Medicare private fee-for-service plans, and Medicare medical savings accounts plans. These are plans offered through insurance companies and other private companies approved by Medicare. So we went A, B, D. What happened to C, Beth?
So Medicare Part C is called Medicare Advantage. And this is where you take the public concept of Medicare and you administer it by private companies. Medicare Advantage plans offer the things that are covered by Part A and Part B and sometimes Part D, but they bundle them. And sometimes they bundle them with additional coverage for things like vision and hearing and dental care.
Medicare Advantage plans usually have an annual limit on the out-of-pocket costs and are typically HMOs or PPOs, very similar to private insurance that you might have today. They collect these private companies' Medicare payments from the federal government. And for some people, Part C can be more effective cost-wise than paying separately for Parts A, B, and D. But there are problems with Medicare Advantage plans that are similar to what you would experience with private health insurance. Claims get denied at a rate that commentators believe is too high under Medicare Advantage plans. There can be confusion about who is in network under a Medicare Advantage plan. And here's the big one. For anyone listening who is approaching Medicare enrollment age, this is really important. When you first enroll in Medicare, you have the opportunity to get supplemental private plans called Medigap. So if you choose Part A and Part B, during the 6 months after you sign up for Part B, a supplemental plan, a Medigap plan, cannot reject you or charge you a higher premium because of pre-existing conditions. But after that 6 months, they can. And so the New York Times recently ran a story that we'll put in the show notes where people have signed up for Medicare Advantage at first, thinking it was the most cost-effective option, then gotten a chronic condition that changes the landscape, and they try to go back to Part A and Part B, but they can't get Medigap insurance because of pre-existing conditions, or they can't get it at an affordable rate because of pre-existing conditions. And so it's a really important analysis that you need some advice on when you're making that initial enrollment. The Trump administration has in many ways highlighted Medicare Advantage plans and been criticized for this kind of effort that some people see as trying to privatize Medicare through making Medicare Advantage plans more prominent.
And the other major gap left by Medicare is long-term care. It's estimated that 70% of people over 65 will need long-term care at some point, and it's just simply not covered by Medicare. So, despite all the gaps and confusion and difficulties in putting together the best plan for you, the second thing you need to know is that Medicare is still extremely popular because it touches so many Americans. Currently, 44 million beneficiaries, some 15% of the U.S. population, are enrolled in the Medicare program. And enrollment is expected to rise to 79 million by 2030. Only 1 in 10 beneficiaries rely solely on Medicare programs for healthcare coverage. But still, even with the supplementing, because of its universal impact, it's remained very popular consistently since it first began.
So here's kind of what the cost impact is on the federal budget. Despite the fact that most people using Medicare are still paying for healthcare out of pocket, the average out-of-pocket spending for Medicare enrollees in 2016, excluding premiums, was a little over $3,000. So even though we have people still paying for healthcare under Medicare, it is an enormously expensive federal program. In 2017, Medicare benefit payments totaled $688 billion. By 2018, that number had risen to $731 billion. 21% of that is for hospital inpatient services, 14% for outpatient prescription drugs, 10% for physician services, and 30% for payments to Medicare Advantage plans for services covered by Part A and Part B. It's 15% of the total federal budget. And by 2029, because as Sarah mentioned, our population is aging and we expect the enrollment to increase significantly, Medicare is projected to be 18% of the total federal budget at a cost of $1.3 trillion. Per capita spending on Medicare grows more slowly than under private insurance plans. It's still expected to grow at 5.1% over the next few years because more people are using it and they're using more intense care and more expensive services. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
We're finally at my favorite time of year. Spring is here. Summer is just around the corner. We're getting our summer essentials ready. Our sunscreen, our emotional support water bottles, our steamy beach reeds. But maybe you would prefer your steamy earbuds. This year, there is a new kind of essential right at your fingertips. Enemies to love. Chance encounters, a slow burn. Friends that become more. Whatever your favorite romantic trope, Dipsy has a spicy audio story just for you. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short and spicy audio stories that bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. You can discover stories about second chance romances and adventurous vacation flings. That's my favorite. Hot and heavy hookups. It can be as heavy or as light as you want it to be. This is what I love about Dipsy. It is a modern approach to romance through high quality, captivating audio fiction that you can listen to in the privacy of your own headphones. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/pantsuit. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/pantsuit. That's dipsystories.com/pantsuit.
I recently reorganized my closet and realized that I never need to buy a white blouse or a blue dress again as long as I live. Guys, I have plenty. I did want to add some much neglected color, like pink and yellow, to my closet, and I knew just where to go. Quince always has timeless pieces and a true rainbow of options that can help you build a classic wardrobe no matter the season. It's getting warmer, so I got a soft pink chiffon pleated miniskirt that is so cute, and a really beautiful yellow cashmere tee. It's short-sleeved, it's perfect for the sort of bridge weather we're experiencing right now. And the best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I absolutely love it. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/pantsuit for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/pantsuit to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/pantsuit. Traditionally, financial planning advice is either only for those who are already wealthy or salespeople calling themselves financial advisors who say they'll give you free financial advice but really just sell products to earn commissions. Fearless Finance takes a dramatic departure from either of those traditional models. Their entire business is built on making financial advice accessible and affordable because we know that financial literacy, stress reduction, and financial security are critical to overall well-being. I'm a little bit obsessed with Elizabeth, our Fearless Finance advisor. I've had an array of advisors in the past who answered questions like, should we be spending less on this, with evasive answers like, it depends on your priorities. Not Elizabeth. She answers with actually helpful guidelines. You're spending more than the average family of five, or I'd like to see this increase by 6%. Thank you. This is Fearless Finance's mission, to make advice affordable and accessible. You meet with your planner virtually and they charge you by the hour. You only pay for the time you use down to a quarter hour. Their planners meet with you where you are on your financial journey, no judgment. Visit fearlessfinance.com today. You can chat with a planner for free to make sure it's a good fit, and you'll get $50 off your first planning meeting when you use the code PANTSUIT. That's fearlessfinance.com and use code PANTSUIT for $50 off your first planning meeting. Okay, so we've covered what Medicare is. Now let's talk about Medicare for All, which is not really Medicare, and it's not really one proposal either. So buckle up. There's a lot of things going on here. There are many, many Medicare for All proposals. It's basically shorthand for a single-payer system, but calling it Medicare for All was a branding decision made by Senator Ted Kennedy's staff because single-payer sounds wonky and it polls lower. So people don't know what it means. Everybody likes Medicare. They know what it means. And so because of those favorabilities that we were talking about earlier, it became Medicare for All.
There are lots of versions of Medicare for All out there. Bernie Sanders, of course, has a bill before the Senate. You might have heard of it. In the House, Representative Pramila Jayapal has a version that is even more expansive than what Senator Sanders has proposed. Elizabeth Warren has a Medicare for All proposal, and there are several other bills that have been around longer than the Sanders and Warren proposals on Medicare for All. For the most part, here's what those bills have in common. Most of them would just eliminate private health insurance and set up a new universal plan that would include both Medicare and Medicaid. Most of them would still maintain Veterans Affairs and the Indian Health Service that exists today, but otherwise put everybody into one big plan. The coverage of these plans varies. So most of them would cover hospital visits, primary care, medical devices, lab services, maternity care, and prescription drugs, as well as vision and dental benefits. And here's where you start to see this is not like Medicare today. Representative Jayapal's bill would also cover abortion services, and the newest versions of the Sanders and Warren plans do as well. Under Representative Jayapal's bill, there would be virtually no out-of-pocket costs for healthcare-related expenses. These plans would prohibit deductibles. They would prohibit co-insurance, co-pays, surprise bills for healthcare services and items covered under Medicare for All. And Representative Jayapal's plan also includes long-term care for nursing services.
So they vary in their generosity. And they vary in sort of cost sharing, usually leaning towards really expansive coverage and almost no cost sharing. They also differ in how quickly the transition would come about. So Representative Jayapal, if you're noticing a trend, has one of the more extreme proposals. Hers is only a two-year transition period. And Bernie and Warren's plans both have a four-year transition periods where we slowly lower the age people can get into Medicare and do a couple other things to ease the entire population into this system. Because they're so expansive, they really have no analog among single-payer systems around the world. By covering such a comprehensive set of benefits and asking no cost-sharing of the enrollees, it would be very expensive. And that's our next section.
The next thing you need to know is that this would cost a lot of money. Now, people argue a lot about whether on a net basis this would cost the United States more money, because a really important factor to remember in any analysis about healthcare is that the United States spends so much money on healthcare. So Representative Sanders and Jayapal argue frequently that ultimately we spend less because it's a more efficient system. But you have to think about spending less on an entire economy basis, not on a government basis.
Mm-hmm.
And on the government basis, we don't really know how Sanders and Jayapal are going to pay for it. Elizabeth Warren, we know her plan gives a lot of detail about that. Past efforts to institute this kind of plan have fallen apart at the step in the process where people start to think, what is this going to cost and how are we going to do it? In Vermont, Bernie Sanders attempted to create a single-payer system in 2014, and local legislators outlined a really clear vision that was pretty similar to Representative Jayapal's of what they would want that plan to look like. It was arguably a little less ambitious than Representative Jayapal's. It required co-pays when people went to the doctor. But then the state started looking at how much it would need to increase taxes to finance this system. They realized they would have to increase payroll taxes by 11.5% and income taxes by 9%. And that's where the dream died.
I think it's really difficult because this cost conversation is happening in two realms. Like you said, is it how much it cost the country overall, how much we're all spending, or how much it cost the government? And it's really difficult to talk about because the intersection is, well, it, and this is the point Bernie Sanders makes all the time, well, it might cost you more in taxes, which is your interaction with the government, but it will cost you less in sort of the economy as a whole because you'll be spending more towards health insurance. And that intersection to me seems to be like one of the very difficult parts of this conversation. Elizabeth Warren does give a lot more detail about how she'll pay for it. And it's at that intersection that she's trying to find the money. So employers are a main source of revenue in her proposal. What she says is that she would raise nearly $9 trillion here, a figure that comes from the roughly $9 trillion private employees are projected to spend over the next decade in health insurance. And so instead of taking that money and paying for their employees' health insurance, they would take that money and give it all to the government to pay for the health insurance. In addition, she would boost her proposed 3% wealth tax on people over $1 billion to 6%. And also boost taxes on large corporations. And she believes that the taxes on the rich and the corporations would raise an estimated $6 trillion. And an additional $2.3 trillion would come from improving tax enforcement. So that's where she's getting the trillions and trillions of dollars it would take. And it's just really hard. Everybody knows it's going to be expensive. Nobody really knows what this means. John Oliver does a great section on Medicare for All that we'll put in the show notes. And he cites this New York Times article where they went to like six different economists and they all had six different answers on how much it was going to cost. So that's we all know it's expensive. We don't know how expensive. And that makes this part of the conversation even more difficult.
Spring is so tricky because I feel the sun shining, the earth is waking up, and I want fresh, vegetable-forward meals. And I'm running in 75 directions and don't have a lot of kitchen and prep time. Fortunately, Factor is here for me and for you with fresh, never-frozen meals that are chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in 2 minutes. They have a ton of options for us, including keto, protein plus, vegan, veggie, calorie smart, and so many add-ons if you need help with breakfast or snacks or on-the-go lunches or beverages. Factor is here for you. Every meal I've had from Factor is so well composed, it's so flavorful, the sauces are delicious, and Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look for Earth Month Eats badges on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/pantsuit50 and use code pantsuit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code PANTSUIT50 at factormeals.com/PANTSUIT50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they made solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get 15% off your order with code PODCAST15.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Kaiser Health Network, which is a really good source of information about healthcare, has an article out this week about the new study that Senator Sanders has been touting that lowers potential estimates for what Medicare all would cost the United States, and it rates that as mostly false. It's just difficult. ProPublica has a really wonderful article about Medicare for All where they say, look, it's not Medicare. It's not really for all. How much it would cost, what it would cover, and what the ultimate effects of it would be, no one has any clue. Because as you said, Sarah, we don't have an existing example of this vision in the world today. The closest, and this is the fifth thing to know, is that the healthcare system in Taiwan is most like what Senator Sanders, Senator Warren, Representative Jayapal are proposing. And there are pros and cons with this system, like every healthcare system on Earth. It is more efficient and cost-effective. Taiwan spends about 6% of its gross domestic product on healthcare. In the United States, we spend about 17% of our gross domestic product on healthcare. There is a podcast that we really recommend from Vox. It's from the Today Explained series. And two of their reporters actually went to Taiwan and the Netherlands and a few other countries as well to look at healthcare systems. And in this really short podcast, you can hear a doctor in Taiwan describing the healthcare system as heaven for patients and hell for doctors, because there is a huge demand for healthcare in Taiwan. The hospitals are always really busy. When people can get free healthcare, they want it. And it has overwhelmed the doctors. Specialty care in rural areas of Taiwan is really lacking. The doctor-to-patient and nurse-to-patient ratios are terrible compared to European systems. And Taiwan also doesn't cover long-term care. But the upside of that is people really like it, and they go get the services, and they don't pay for them when they leave, for the most part. And so that's why you hear a lot about the Taiwanese system in analysis of these Medicare for All proposals, because that's as close as we've got.
So all these issues, the cost of the program, what it means for the healthcare system itself, what it means for doctors, these are really big, big topics and big things to think about. And so we are going to tackle that on Tuesday's show. We're going to spend a lot of time thinking through the impact of Medicare for All, or the imagined impact of Medicare for All, the problems with our current system. So we hope this gave you a basic rundown, some foundations, lots of resources to dig into over the weekend, because we're hoping to have a really in-depth conversation about the proposal on Tuesday's show.
Thank you so much for joining us here this week. We have loved spending time with you in a new format this week and here on the podcast and on social media. Make sure that you sign up to get our newsletters, where we share lots more about our lives and thinking. You can do that at pantsuitpoliticsshow.com. And we'll be back here on Tuesday to talk healthcare. Until then, keep it nuanced, y'all.
Dylan Garvin produces Pantsuit Politics every week. Thanks for making us sound better, Dylan.
Elise Knapp is our managing director, which means we could not make it without her scheduling, organization, feedback, and creativity. Thank you, Elise.
We couldn't make Pantsuit Politics without support from our listeners. Go to patreon.com/pantsuitpolitics to learn how you can receive more nuance and help us make the show.
Special thanks to our executive producers, who have committed to supporting us in a major life-giving way.
Our executive producers are
Tracy Putoff,
Tim Miller,
Martha Brunitsky,
Tiffany Hasler,
Joshua Allen,
David McWilliams,
Amy Whited,
and Allie Edwards.
Our theme music is composed and performed by Dante Lima. The music under our ads is composed and performed by Dylan Garvin.
Learn more about our lives, live events that we're involved in, and what we're reading each week by signing up for our weekly newsletter at pantsuitpoliticsshow.com.
And connect with members of the Pantsuit Politics community by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.